Welcome to Unhinged with your host, Teresa Romer, motivational speaker, fashion expert, and fashion guru.
But I am your host, Teresa Romer, and I have my amazing co-host, Maz.
Hi, Teresa. How are you?
I'm fabulous.
So everything you enjoyed the weekend, it was a good family weekend.
Yes, yes, it was fabulous. Yours too.
Mine was good.
Of course. And that brings me to the topic today. I mean, some people don't ever want to talk about this, but guess what? It happens. And regardless of whether you want it to happen or not, it happens.
Please,
you know,
please don't tell me you're going to talk about death.
No, but some people would probably rather talk about death than this.
Oh my God, your topic is worse than death. I can't imagine what we're going
to
talk
about. No, but I mean, like, today's topic is taking care of aging parents.
Oh, okay.
You know, I mean, come on, that's not that bad, is it?
It's not that bad, but it's a very sensitive topic.
Sensitive in the fact that, you know, some people don't want to do it. But in my case, since one of my parents has already passed away and two of them disown me, I don't have to worry about this.
Well, you're the lucky one. Yeah.
So I guess
I'm a mama's boy.
So I guess that's probably why I'm so excited to talk about it, because I know I'm not going to have to do it.
Yeah, but I'm a mama's boy. Just thinking about my mom getting sick and old just makes me want to vomit.
I know. Isn't that sad? But, you know, today we have so much stress. I mean, all of us have so much stress. I don't know why, but it just seems like today we are under more stress today than people were 20, 30 years ago, I think.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you on
that. And I don't know if that's because of social media and how things have evolved or what. I don't know. But, I mean, we are all under so much stress. So I don't know how some people can handle the added stress that comes with it when, you know, so take your already stress that you have and now throw taking care of your aging parent on top of that.
Well, you know, Teresa, as you know, I come from a Persian family.
Right.
So for us, our culture, you know, as many other cultures are like that, Italians and Asians and so on and so on. We have a very close bond with our parents. I come from a divorced family. So my father and my mother were divorced when I was a kid. I am a mama's boy. When my mother gets a cold, I have to call 10 times a day. As you know, she's in Germany. I'm over here. So
right.
I think that our culture has taught us in a way to deal with this topic a little bit different, because we just say, you know what, the hell with it. I'm just going to have my parents move in with me.
Right.
If we have a smaller house, we're going to go get a bigger house because that's my responsibility. I have to take care of my mother, whether she's wealthy or well off or nothing at all. As a child, it's my responsibility. I have to make sure my mother's not alone. I have to make sure that my mother has everything that she needs. I have to make sure that she's surrounded by love and the comfort of my family. So our culture is kind of different than some other cultures. I guess I was raised to know that this is what I have to do when I get older.
Right, but here's the question. So, and here's a very good question. I know your mother's not that old, but just consider, say she was extremely old and she now needs to come live with you. So not only do you have your very, very, very busy career, your wife has a career, but she's somewhat of a stay-at-home mom too, kind of, I guess. But you also have small children at home.
Right.
So now you take on this elderly parent. So does one of you, mainly your wife maybe, give up her career altogether? Or do you have to hire help to come take care of? And some people don't even have the money for...
Well, here's the thing though, Teresa. You have to see if your parent is sick, if you need that extra help. Like for us, in most of the, you know, my friends and everybody that I see, their parents are living with them. Their parents are here 6 months. They go back to Iran for 6 months. So it's on and off. And the kids are learning. I would be so blessed to have someone like my mother around all the time that my kids would actually learn from and could communicate our culture around and just learn these things from them. So I don't know if we would hire someone or bring someone, because I don't know if your question is will your parent be sick at that time if you need someone, or are we talking about a healthy parent?
Well, but normally, let's talk about that, because most parents don't want to give up their independence unless they get so sick that they cannot live on their own anymore. And that's correct. that's when the kids have to step in and take care of the parents. For the most part, if a parent is healthy and very good being independent on their own and all, they don't want to come live with you, because they're like, oh, hell, I'm fine. You know, go live your life, son. Go have a good time. You know, I'm fine. So most of the time, when an aging parent needs to come live with you, it's because they are not able to live on their own anymore.
I see.
Because they're so frail or they are sick.
I see. Well, in my case is, I just want to be with my mom 24/7.
Right.
So if my mother, and let me tell you this, the reason why I married my wife is because of the relationship that she had with my mother.
Right.
So if you're good with my mom, you got my heart.
Right.
And my wife, when we first met, even before we got engaged, because her family knew my family, I would observe the relationship that she would have with my mother. And to be honest with you, that is what, other than her good looks, which, you know, kind of helped a lot too, but her character with my mom, the bonding that she had with my mom, is what stole my heart. So if, God forbid, my mother were to ever get sick and she would need to be here 24/7, my wife would drop her life and take care of her. As I would do with the same with her mother.
Right.
But I would definitely hire someone, you know.
But once again, now you're kind of probably in a different area than the average income family, because most average income families have to have two incomes to be able to survive nowadays.
Sure.
And so
absolutely.
If they, now you take one of those incomes away, now you've added even more stress, because now that parent isn't working, that parent isn't bringing in that other income, and now there's more stress on the working person. You know, I'm just saying, this adds so much stress to most people.
Absolutely. But Teresa, if you really care about your parent and to make sure that they're well off, you will find a way to do it.
So here's a good question then.
Many Hispanics here do that. I've seen them, and they're working jobs, and their parents are there, and they're caring for their parents, and their parents are, some of them are sick, some of them are not. So I guess it's the culture thing.
So here's another good question then.
Yeah.
Why are there so many people in the old folks' homes, in the nursing homes?
That is a good question. To be honest with you, I want to tell you something. I am a huge, huge donor to Meals on Wheels. And I support many of the orphanages and, you know, senior homes around the world. I can tell you this, many of them land in there because they have irresponsible children.
Right.
And that breaks my heart, because when you bring a child into this world and you care for them and you raise them and you do whatever you have to do to make ends meet and to survive, the last thing you want as a parent is to be thrown away when no one needs you anymore. And that is the saddest thing, because I think as humans, we evolve, and we evolve with love, and we move on and we pass that love on. And as you of all people know this, you've had that relationship with your mother. Have you passed on your hate and that relationship that you've had to your children? No.
No.
Because you stopped it. You could have had that chain reaction and you could have passed it on.
Right.
Stopped it. So we go back to these people that are returning that and throwing their parents away in these senior homes. And did they give up on us when we were going through our crazy phases of teenagers?
No, and that's my point here is, you know, when we
did they go and throw us in an
orphanage? So that's my point here is, you know, when our parents brought us into this world, they took care of us for 18, sometimes 25 years, you know, until you got on your feet. So, but for sure, 18 years. They took care of us for 18 years. You know, by the time an aging parent moves in with you, you might have to take care of them for maybe a year or two, maybe five, you know, but I don't really think you're going to take care of them for 18 years by the time an aging parent has to come live with you. So my question once again is, why are the nursing homes so full? I can remember as a little girl, I was a candy striper at a nursing home, and part of me loved it and part of me hated it. Part of me loved it because these people just yearned for attention. And for you to be able, even as a little girl, for me to be able to sit there when I was, you know, 12, 13, 14, and listen to these people's stories and I just loved listening to them tell their stories about their life. You know, it was like, wow, you know. But then on the other hand, I hated going to work sometimes because it was so sad. Because some of these people, I swear to God, nobody ever came to visit them. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, where's your kids? You know, where are your children? Like, they just put you in here and forgot about you?
That's extremely sad. That's extremely sad. That's why I tell you, I don't understand how sometimes things happen in this world. I don't understand how a child can just abandon a parent and let them stay in a senior home. That for me is, I mean, the way I've been raised and how my wife has been raised and how our culture is, for me, that is the ultimate nightmare.
Right. And so, you know, even in my marriage to my children's father, I can remember when Tashina and Michael were just little, grandma, or I guess their great grandma, she lived in an assisted living care, meaning she could live on her own, but every once in a while somebody would stop in to take care of her, or help her do this or help her do that. And that was fine. But then when she got diabetes so bad that they had to amputate one of her legs, they just threw her into a nursing home. And I, you know, she just went downhill. Once she landed in that nursing home, she went downhill. I think she might have lived two more years, and then boom, she was gone. You know, and I think sometimes people die in there because they're just lonely.
They're lonely.
Yeah.
Anybody, and it's a very, very sad. I think, you know, Teresa, I have a theory that I teach my kids. If you have a bread, you can share it in however many pieces that you want with anybody that you want.
Right.
Having a person being extra in your household to share that bread with, nothing is going to change your financial situation. You're just sharing one more plate with someone else.
Right.
On top of that, if that person is your parent, if they're sick or not, whatever financial situation you have, if you love your parent, I personally believe that you will make that effort to make sure that they're with you and that you care for them.
Right.
That's how I see it. And I've seen people with, you know, minimum wages, both husband and wife working and still caring for their parents.
Right. But, you know, so I look back at when they threw grandma in the nursing home, I look at how much money nursing homes cost. I mean, nursing homes are not cheap. They're expensive. And I look at that and I think, I don't see that having her live with one of the kids and hiring someone, I don't care if you have to hire around the clock nurses, I don't see how that could have been more expensive than that nursing home. And she could have at least been around family and been happy. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's, you know, someone like you and I will sit around and analyze it like that. Many won't. It all comes down to emotional attachment.
Right.
That's how I see it. I don't think it's a money issue.
But like you said, you know, when we were going through our bad teenage years, you never once saw our parents just go throw us in an orphanage and say, you know, I'll get you later. I can't deal with you right now.
Oh my God. If that was the case, I would have been in an orphanage, at least in 20, 30 orphanages. Oh, you're having a bad year. Let me just throw you off. Oh, you're sick in your teenage years. Let me just kick you out and take you to an orphanage. No, that's, you know, I believe in however we're raised, we will return it back to our parents.
And I see that all the time with the Asian people. You know, you can walk into any Asian home and there's probably six generations living in that home.
Oh, absolutely. And I have many Hispanic friends that do the same with their parents. I have people that work for me. Their parents are living with them. I think it's just a matter of, you know, culture and the way that you've been raised.
Do you think it's
a money problem.
So do you think those people that throw their parents in nursing homes ever feel guilty?
I don't think they feel guilty, because if they did, they wouldn't do that. That's how I see it. It's like saying, well, do you think the person, do you think O.J. Simpson feels guilty? you know, you never know. Oh, did that person kill that person? Do you think they feel guilty? Well, if they felt guilty, they wouldn't kill that person, you know? So obviously they have no remorse. They have no empathy. So I don't think that people that go and throw their parents in a nursing home have any empathy inside of their hearts or in their souls to feel that guilt.
You're right. You're right. You're right. So
You have to be spineless to do that. That's how I see it. Right. Some hearing this might say, oh my God, you know, Moz is like this crazy, like Persian guy saying, oh no, it's how I've been raised. Someone like me, my view is I have to talk to my mom twice a day or I can't breathe. You know how I am with
my mom. I know. Yeah.
So even if I didn't have a good relationship with my father, I still would be there for my father, and I would never let my father land in a nursing home.
Right. So here's a good question. Now, because your parents are divorced, what if both of your alien parents need to come live with you at the same time?
Well, then my mom would, you know, God forbid that would never happen. But I would seriously think about two different places for them. They would kill each other faster than anybody else.
I could see you now. You'd be like, okay, we need to go buy a 20,000 square foot house. My mom will get the east wing. My dad will get the west wing.
And both of them are so, oh my God, so diva-ish. My God.
I could just see that.
That's when we'll officially get a reality show.
Now that would might be some stress.
I would go crazy, because my mother would say, you're not even allowed to go say hi to your father.
See?
You know, I haven't even touched my trust fund yet because of my mother. So could you imagine them two living under the same roof? That would be very funny.
Oh, I think it'd be hilarious. And I'd actually want to come live with you just so I could experience it.
I think everybody would knock on our door and see what's going on in our house.
My husband would be like, what do you mean you're leaving me? I'd be like, I got to go live in Maz's house for a while. I got to experience this. This is comical.
Oh my God. But let me remind you, they respectfully divorced.
Right.
You know, both of them very educated, very well off. Two people very well off, but two stubborn people, powerful people that, oh my God, if they were under a roof, the house would blow up in that energy.
And they only had one person. They only had you, right?
Oh my God, that was the worst thing. That was the worst thing. But of course, I was a mama's boy, and my universe is my mother.
Right.
So, right. You know, I would rather die. If my mom says I need an organ, I'll tell her pick which one and tell me which one you want.
Well, that's good though, because you know, I had that kind of relationship with my son also before he died. I mean, he was a mama's boy also. So, you know, there's a huge bond between mothers and sons. And so just like there's a huge bond between fathers and daughters too. So
fathers and daughters until the daughter graduates from high school.
Well, normally they don't have a good relationship until they graduate from high school. Then once the daughter graduates from high school, nobody is as good as her dad. Like, that's when the whole relationship changes. Like,
can you guarantee me that?
Yeah, I can.
Good. I can. Right now, I have a teenager, and I am the Joker, and she is Wonder Woman.
Yeah. Oh, that I know exactly what you're going through, because I was that age myself once. You know.
Right now, if I were sick, my daughter would put me in a.
I'm just saying, once she graduates and becomes older, no one will do anything right in her world except her dad. So it'll change. It'll change. Yeah, it'll change. So I guess the takeaway here is, you know, just do whatever's best for you.
But here's a question before we leave is, what would you do? Someone in your position, you see, I'm going to catch you before we leave. I want you to finish this up, Teresa Romer.
Yes.
What would you do if, God forbid, your mother were sick and you had to care for her? What would you do?
Basically, when my mother a couple years ago told me that I was dead in her eyes, I pretty much felt like I buried her then, because it was like, how can you disown your child? You know, how can you tell your child, as far as I'm concerned, you're dead? So, you know, after all of the emotional abuse that I took from her, and verbal abuse that I took from her, and physical abuse that I took from her, I finally said, when she said that to me, I finally said, you know what, I'm done. I've had it with this woman. I have to, if she's going to consider me dead, then fine. You're out of my world now. I mean, like, so I think I buried her then. So I even told my sister this the other day. I said, I think if my mother, I think if you were to call me and tell me that mom's really sick or that mom's dying, I'd be like, okay. Because I think I've already buried her. Like, I think I've already, I was so hurt when she told me that I was dead, that sever that she created right there, I really do think, and I don't know, maybe it'll be different if I ever get that phone call. I don't know. But in how I feel right now, the pain that I feel right now because of what she said to me, I feel like I've already said my goodbye to her, and I think if she passes, I think in my mind, I'll just be, I'm probably going to be saying, I hope she's finally at peace.
I see.
Because I don't think my mom's a happy woman. I don't think she's ever been a happy woman. I think, you know, my mom.
And that spreads on to their children. So I can understand your position.
And I'm totally different than her. You know, like, I think my mom has always wanted people to come into her life and make her happy. My mom does not understand that happiness has to come from within. And right. So I learned that as a very young girl, that happiness had to come from within. Like, I could not expect people to just come into my world and make me happy. But my mother, still at her age in the 70s, she's still wanting happiness to come land at her feet, and she doesn't understand that it has to come from within. So anyways, the answer to your question is I pretty much feel like, because she has said that I'm dead, and I just feel like I've already said my goodbyes. And I don't know, like I said, I don't want to be caught a liar here, but, you know, maybe it'll be different when I hear those words.
Isn't that weird that we both just had this topic and both of us said the complete opposite of each other's theories here? I think that's so interesting how different some lives are and how different this topic can be for some.
Right, but yeah, but like you said, you were a mama's boy. You grew up, even though your parents were divorced, you grew up with a very loving mother. I don't know. I grew up totally different. I grew up, you know, of course, once again, also in a divorced family, but I grew up with mental abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse.
Right.
So, you know, had totally different experience as a child than you did.
See, this is a very good information to give also to your viewers, is that these things exist regardless of where you are now in life. You've had the worst of experiences, and I think this is very important to pass on to people that see you as a public figure.
And yeah,
nothing is always perfect, but you make it.
Right, and no matter what path you've had to be led down and what you've gone through, it doesn't mean that you have to stay in that path. You can always jump into a happier path if you want to. So, you know, just because I was mentally, physically, and verbally abused, you know, doesn't mean I had to stay in that path and pass it on to my children. You know, I chose to get out of that path and make life what I wanted it to be like.
Right.
So anyways, like I said, the takeaway here is do what's best for you, I guess, you know, and
do what makes you feel comfortable.
Right. Right. And don't, you know, don't be influenced by other people, I guess.
Don't be influenced by us.
So with that said, guys, I think it was another great topic today, and make sure you get out there and find me everywhere on social media. I am on Instagram, Facebook. I'm everywhere. Check out my YouTube channel. You know, make sure you check out everything. You know, Google my name. I'm out there everywhere. And with that said, I hope you all have a great rest of the week, and we will catch you next week with another fabulous topic. Thanks, Moz.